Amen. It goes along beautifully with the message this morning. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs 30. We've been covering some messages on Islam on Sunday nights, and this is the final message. Decided to preach it this morning. And Lord willing, we'll try to put all this information in some Bible courses for you. If you know some people that are involved in Islam that would go through them, or just to enlighten maybe some relatives, family members, and what Islam really believes, really stands for. And we'll try to put this message series in the DVD set again so you can have those. So this will be the final message, Lord willing, on the subject of Islam this morning. Proverbs 30, and shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you that it is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. I pray the Holy Spirit would have his way in each of our hearts now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is what? Pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a what? A liar. Now you may not know Greek, you may not know Hebrew, you may not know Aramaic, you may know nothing about manuscript evidence, but if you'll just read your Bible, you'll be able to discern between truth and error. So we're looking at contradiction number 12 in the Quran this morning, and they say that Jesus was not crucified. They say that Jesus was not really crucified. I'm reading to you from the Quran in Surah 572. It says this, I quote, they do blaspheme who say Allah is Christ, the Son of Mary. Whoever joins other gods with Allah, Allah will forbid him the garden, and the fire will be his abode. In Quran Surah 573, quote, they do blaspheme who say Allah is one of three in a trinity. They don't believe that. Quote again, the Quran, Surah 575, quote, Christ, the Son of Mary, was no more than a messenger. Many were the messengers that passed away before him. They don't believe Jesus is God. They believe he's just another prophet, another messenger. Surah 930 from the Quran, quote, the Christians call Christ the Son of God. That is the saying from their mouth. In this they but imitate what the unbelievers of old used to say. Allah's curse be on them. If you call Christ the Son of God, the Muslims say their God's curse be upon you. Well, let's look at some verses here. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9. My friends, you have to be careful. Just because someone says they believe in Jesus, you've got to discern what or who that Jesus is. The Muslim Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. They do not believe that God has a son. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten what?
Son.
So the true and the living God has a son. It's Jesus. The Muslims do not believe that God has a son. They do not believe there's such a thing as a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They say Allah's curse be on anyone who would believe that. Isaiah 9:6. The Bible says, for unto us a son, a child is born, unto us a son is given. And notice right there, the child is born. Jesus' earthly body began there at the conception. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and that holy thing would be called the Son of God. But you notice the child is born. His flesh was born, but it says the Son is given because the Son is eternal in Micah 5:2. His goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The Son of God was not born. He has always existed. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the child is born, that flesh is born, his earthly body is born, but he is given from heaven. He has always existed because he's God. So as we read on, And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the what? The Mighty God. That's right. The child is born, the son is given, and he, Jesus Christ, in the flesh, will be called the what? The Mighty God. Is Jesus God Almighty? It says he is right here. He is the Mighty God. Is he one with the Father? What does it say next? The what? The Everlasting Father. Who are we talking about here? The Son and the child that's going to be given. He is the Mighty God. Jesus is God Almighty, and he is the Everlasting Father. John 14, Jesus said to Philip, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father, Philip." John 10:30, "I and my Father are one." Hebrews 1:8, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." So Jesus and the Father are one. And then verse 6, the Prince of Peace. Let's look at Matthew 1, Matthew chapter 1. Jesus is God Almighty in the flesh. And if there's someone that says, "Well, I believe in Jesus, that he was a good prophet," well then, that is no different than the Muslims. The Muslims believe that he was a messenger from God, but they do not believe that he is God. In Matthew 1:23, but what does the Bible say? Matthew 1:23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son." You notice the distinction there again. "And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is what? God with us. That's what it means. That's why the Bible interpreted that name there for us, because that's the significance of the name. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. He is God in the flesh. And if someone believes in a Jesus other than that, that is not the Jesus of the Bible, and that's not a Jesus who can save. You know, there are many people living today who have the name Jesus. It's a common Spanish name, Jesus. But none of them can save. Not a one of them. Because they're not the Jesus of the Bible. They are not God in the flesh. Notice with me in John 14. John 14. And verse 6. John 14:6. The Bible says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Verse 8. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath what? Seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" So they deny the clear scriptures that Jesus is God. And let me read here out of the Quran where they deny that he was ever crucified on the cross. You may say, "They what? How can anyone deny that he was crucified on the cross?" Well, listen, they do deny it. In the Quran, Surah 4:157 says this, I quote, "That they said and boast, we killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, but they killed him not, nor crucified him. But so it was made to appear to them. And those who differ therein are full of doubts, with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture to follow. For of a surety they killed him not." I said it more than once. That's Surah 4:157. They deny that Jesus was killed. It says, a quote, "They killed him not." They deny he was crucified. They spell it right out. Quote, "nor crucified him." They say it was all a fabrication. Quote, "but so it was made to appear to them." They say anyone who believes that Jesus died on the cross, that's conjecture and it's full of doubts. I quote, "and those who differ therein are full of doubts, with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture to follow, for of a surety they killed him not." Is that what the Bible says? Now remember, Muhammad claimed that the Quran was nothing more than a continuation of Scripture. He claimed to believe the Old Testament, the New Testament, and that the Quran was just a continuation in that same line of inspired writings. Let me quote it to you out of the Quran, Surah 3, verses 3 and 4. It is he who sent down to thee step by step in truth the book. He's calling that the Quran. Confirming what went before it, and he sent down the law of Moses. So there he's saying the Quran is nothing but a confirmation of the law of Moses, the Old Testament, and the gospel of Jesus, referring to the New Testament. So he says the Quran is just in the line of Holy Scripture. But how can it be when the Quran denies? Jesus, John 10:30 says, I and my Father are one. The Old Testament backs that up. Isaiah 9:6, he would be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So the New Testament does not contradict the Old Testament, but the Quran does contradict both the Old and the New Testaments. And right here, I gave you, it denies that he died on the cross. Now, is this an important contradiction? That Jesus died on the cross for our sins? Let's look at some scriptures here. Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. And how is it that some leaders can say Muslims and Christians worship the same God? That Christianity and Islam both lead to heaven. How can that be when they deny that Jesus died on the cross? The whole basis for the forgiveness of our sins. In Romans 5 and verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ did what? Died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. Much more than being now justified by his what? His blood. We shall be what? Saved from wrath through him. You take away his death for us. You take away his blood shed for us, and there's no salvation. There's no salvation. Look in chapter 10, verse 8. Romans 10 and verse 8. Romans 10:8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the what? The dead. Well, how could the resurrection be true then? If he didn't die for us, then there was no resurrection. But to be saved, you must believe that he died for you and that he rose again. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is the gospel? Gospel means good news. What is the good news? That we can be saved from our sins. But if there's no death, burial, resurrection, there's no good news. It's all been wiped away. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are what? Saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ, what? Died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was what? Buried, and that he what? Rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Do you realize how many contradictions there are between the Quran and the Bible, Old and New Testaments? If we had time, we could read Isaiah 53 over and over and over. Isaiah 53 talks about that he would die for our sins. So, and we could look at many, many, many verses in relation to this. But so, and yet we have religious leaders who are trying to say Islam is okay. This may shock you, and maybe you've heard me quote this before, but this was said by Billy Graham on May 31st, 1997, 10 years ago. Billy Graham said this. He was on Robert Shuler's program. And Billy Graham says this, that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. Listen to this, and I'm still quoting from Billy Graham. They may not even know the name of Jesus, But they know in their hearts that they need something that they don't have. And they turn to the only light that they have, and I think they're saved, and that they're going to be with us in heaven. Did you catch that? Billy Graham on May 31st, 1997 said it. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts that they need something that they don't have and turn to the only light they have, and I think they're saved. Well, then I guess everybody is saved. Doesn't everyone come to the end of the rope sooner or later and say, "Boy, I need something." But what is it? Some people's light they turn to is the bottle. They turn to liquor. That's their light. Alcoholics Anonymous tells them to turn to the table in the room or the tree out in the yard. I've talked to these men going through this program. They turn them to a higher power. And they tell them, if the higher power is the table in this room or if it's the tree out there in the yard, it doesn't matter what it is. That's government-sponsored idolatry, making the table or the tree or whatever it is, your higher power. Well, they don't know any different light, so they turn to it. According to Billy Graham, they would be saved. How foolish. How foolish. Unless we misunderstand, and Robert Shuler, I quote, he said this, What I hear you saying, that it's possible for Jesus Christ to come into human hearts and soul and life, even if they've been born in darkness and have never had exposure to the Bible, is that a correct interpretation of what you're saying? So he's saying, wait a minute, that's even shocking Robert Shuler. He's saying, so if they've had no exposure to the Bible or its truth, are you saying that Jesus Christ comes in and dwells in them, even if they don't know his name? This is what Billy Graham responded, quote, "Yes, it is, because I believe that. I've met people in various parts of the world in tribal situations that have never seen a Bible or heard about a Bible and have never heard of Jesus. But they believed in their hearts that there was a God, and they've tried to live a life that was quite apart from the surrounding community in which they lived," end quote. Well, you know what? I guess we better call the Beards home, and the Austins home, and the Adams home, and the Walls home, and the Gays home, and the Shulls home, and the Ortiz home, and the Helzermans, don't waste your time going to Papua New Guinea, and the Matacheras, don't waste your time going back to Zambia. What does the Bible say? Look at Romans 10. Can someone be saved apart from hearing the truth of God's Word? That's not what the Bible says. Romans 10, and while you're looking there again, let me quote that again. This is why Billy Graham can say the Muslims are okay, the Buddhists are okay, the Christians are okay, everybody's okay. This is what he said again. He says, "Yes, it is, because I believe that. I've met people in various parts of the world in tribal situations that have never seen a Bible or heard about a Bible and have never heard of Jesus, but they believe in their hearts that there was a God." You know what? That fits the demons. The demons believe and tremble. They believe there's a God. They know Jesus is the Almighty God, because when they were confronted with Him in life, they were afraid at the meeting of Him, and sometimes they would ask Him, "Don't cast us out into the deep." They were afraid. Look in Romans chapter 10. Is it possible to be saved apart from hearing what the Bible teaches? Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not," what? "Believed. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Look in verse 17. "So then faith cometh by" what? "Hearing, and hearing by" the what? "Word of God." There is no way to have faith apart from hearing the truth of the Bible. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There's no way to have faith apart from God's word. This whole passage teaches us, verse 11, verse 13, that the way to be saved is to call upon the name of the Lord. But there's no way to do that, it goes on to say, verse 14, without hearing about him. Nature is a proof that there's a God. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. That's proof that there is a God. And it leaves people without excuse for not searching for him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. But you know what? The star, you're not going to get saved by looking at the stars. You're not going to get saved by hearing the word of God. That's what it says. Faith, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, sorry, Mr. Graham, but wrong answer. Wrong answer. The only way to get to heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let's look at John 19. Did Jesus actually die on the cross? You know, some people try to say he just passed out from the loss of blood. And, you know, it's like sometimes you hear stories about, and even in recent times, I should save these clippings, but even in recent times I've heard about people reviving down in the morgue in the basement of the hospitals. Every once in a while you'll hear about it. Someone is pronounced dead. The body is placed down in the hospital morgue, ready for the undertaker to come to take the body away and embalm the body. And in the coolness down there, the person revives. Well, that's a good lawsuit waiting to happen, that's for sure. But was that the case? You know, some people say that about Jesus. They say, well, he was just weak and lost of blood. He just passed out on the cross. And Joseph, you know, the soldiers thought he was dead, and Pilate did, so give him to Joseph of Arimathea, you know, the body. Joseph, you know, puts him in the tomb and, you know, rolls the rock over there. And so just in the coolness of the tomb, Jesus revives, gets up. One thing they never explain, though, is how can a man who's lost so much blood and is in such a weakened state, he couldn't even carry his own cross. How could he get up in a pitch dark tomb, have any clue where the door was? Remember, it's all stone. Okay, did he have a flashlight in there? Okay, how did he find the door? It's all rock. Where's the door? And how can a person in such a weakened condition, who couldn't even carry his own cross, push the rock away from the door? Not going to happen. But we have more to base it on than just that. But it's foolishness, utter foolishness. But in John 19, we have clear medical proof that Jesus had died. His earthly body was indeed dead. John 19 and verse 15. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Well, that's a testimony, isn't it? That's a sad confession. Then delivered he to him therefore unto them to be crucified. Notice how many times it talks about he was crucified. Remember, the Quran says he was not crucified. That's conjecture and very doubtful. Well, it repeats it over and over. Verse 17, and he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they, what? Crucified him. And two other with him on either side, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Well, that's funny. If the Quran is a continuation of inspired Scripture, why does it contradict the Bible so much? Verse 21, then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his what? Mother. Now that's funny, that if it's just mere conjecture, wouldn't you think a mom would straighten it out? I mean, if you read in the newspaper that your son had died and he really was alive, wouldn't you set him straight? I think you would. I heard an evangelist once that read in the paper that he had died. He was in college at the time, and he was on the college football team. And the football team was flying to another city for a game. And his mother said, "Son, I don't want you to go." And I'm sure there was probably a few words back and forth, but "Mom, I'm not a little baby. I'm a man. I'm on the football team. Babies don't play football, Mom." Well, he didn't share what all his mom and him said. But you know what? He listened to his mother. Hard to believe. A college football player, a good college, not third string. He listened to his mother and did not get on that plane and fly to that city. And it's a good thing, because the plane went down. The whole football team died. And the next morning in the paper, it read the names of all the football players who had died, and his name was in there. Ed Carter, his name. As far as I know, he's still living. He's an evangelist. And he read in the paper he was dead. But you know what? He wasn't. He was still alive. I think his Jesus mom would have straightened it out if he hadn't died on that cross. And his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus here hands over the reins of his mother there to John. And verse 28, the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is what? It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So he died. Now notice interestingly here what is written. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Now we read that when someone is crucified, obviously at first you'd kind of try to hold yourself up by your arms, but the arms would get tired. And so the ones who are being crucified by their legs would try to hold themselves up, because for some reason that position, it kind of cuts off your breathing. And so they would try to hold themselves up to be able to breathe. And so that's why, to hasten the death, the soldiers would come along and break their legs. Then they could no longer push themselves up to get breath. And so that is what they're doing here. Verse 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was what? Dead already. They brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out what? Blood and water. Now notice what is said, verse 35. And he that saw it, we're talking about John, and he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. Now what is such the big deal, verse 35? It's verse 34. When the soldiers pierced his side, there came out blood and water. Well, it proved that Jesus' heart had stopped. We've talked this morning about those with congestive heart failure. It's like a bottle of ketchup or a bottle of salad dressing. If you leave it sit too long, the clear fluid comes to the top and the heavier parts go to the bottom. It's the same with our blood. When our heart is not keeping our blood, as it were, stirred up, when it's not pumping it good, the blood begins to separate the heavier parts from the light, clear part. And it proved it, and I talked to Brother Pedersen, a funeral director, some years ago about this very fact, and about also in the book of Revelation, the Bible says one of the plagues, the sea is going to become as the blood of a dead man. And so I talked to him about that. Well, what is the blood of a dead man like? It's separated. Heavier parts from the lighter part. The sea is going to become like that in the book of Revelation. But what this proves in verse 34, when blood came out in water, it proved his heart had stopped. His heart was no longer circulating the blood, and the blood had separated. And that's why this proof is put in here in the Bible. This is medical proof that his earthly body was dead, beyond a shadow of a doubt. And so the Quran says he wasn't crucified, and there's only conjecture and doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Right here is clear proof documented that his body was medically dead. So I want to read to you a little bit here from a highly respected Muslim translator who actually translated the Quran into English. And his name, I'm probably not pronouncing it exactly correct, but this is this Muslim translator's name, Abdullah Yusuf Ali. And this is what he commented. Let me read that verse out of the Quran again. It says this. This is Surah 4, 157. It says, "They said and boast, 'We killed Christ Jesus, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah.' But they killed him not, nor crucified him. But so it was made to appear to them, and those who differ therein are full of doubts, with no certain knowledge, but only conjecture to follow, for of a surety they killed him not." This is what the translator, Abdullah, in the Quran, it has a number, and this is the note at the bottom of the page. And he said this, quote, "The end of the life of Jesus on earth is as much involved in mystery as his birth." Well, neither one are a mystery. The Bible is very clear. "And indeed, the greater part of his private life, except the 3 main years of his ministry. It is not profitable to discuss the many doubts and conjectures among the early Christian sects and among Muslim theologians." Listen to this. He understands perfectly the Christian. This perspective. He says this, "The Orthodox Christian churches make it a cardinal point of their doctrine that Jesus' life was taken on the cross, that he died and was buried, that on the third day he rose in the body with his wounds intact and walked about and conversed and ate with his disciples and was afterwards taken up bodily to heaven." He's got Christian doctrine down correct. And this is what he says. He summarizes it by saying this. "This is necessary for the theological doctrine of blood sacrifice and vicarious atonement for sins." Vicarious meaning substitutionary. Jesus' death on the cross was vicarious. It was substitutionary. It was in our place that he died. And so Abdullah here is saying, in Christian doctrine, it's necessary that he died and was buried and rose again, because in Christian doctrine, that blood sacrifice, that substitutionary sacrifice, is necessary for the forgiveness of sins. And this is what he ends that sentence by saying. All of that I just said, he says, which is rejected by Islam. This is the highly respected translator who translated the Quran into English, and he's saying that substitutionary death on the cross of Jesus Christ is rejected by Islam. They do not believe in that. And he goes on, I quote, "The Quranic teaching," in other words, the teaching of the Quran, "is that Christ was not crucified nor killed. But certain apparent circumstances which produce that illusion in the minds of some." I mean, can it be any more clear? Just reading the Quran, it's clear. But here's the translator saying Islam does not believe in that. And so that was on Surah 4, 157. This is on the next verse, Surah 4, 158. And I quote from the Quran first. "Nay, Allah raised him up unto himself, and Allah is exalted in power, wise. And there is None of the people of the book must believe in him before his death. The Quran says you must believe in Jesus before his death. Because if you believe in the Jesus who died, buried, and was rose again, you don't believe in the true Jesus. That is what the Quran says. I quote from Abdullah. He made a comment on that verse too. It says, I quote, "There is a difference of opinion as to the exact interpretation of this verse. The words are, the Jews did not kill Jesus, but Allah raised him up to himself. One school holds that Jesus did not die, the usual human death, but still lives in the body in heaven, which is the generally accepted Muslim view." So they believe Jesus never died, was buried, and rose again. They just believe in his earthly body, he eventually was taken right up to heaven. So they reject the death, burial, and resurrection. Well, in closing, let's look at Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. How can anyone say that Islam leads to heaven? It rejects that Jesus is God. It rejects that God even had a son. It rejects the Jesus dying on the cross, being buried, and being resurrected. How can anyone say that that leads to heaven? How can anyone say we are serving the same God? Those are two opposing viewpoints. How can Muhammad write and say the Quran is nothing but a continuation confirming what went before, Old and New Testaments? That doesn't make any sense. Romans 1, verse 15, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the what? The gospel." What is the gospel? What were we doing out there yesterday? Preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the what? The gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Power of God unto what? Salvation." What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's Christ died for us on the cross. That is the gospel. Died, buried, rose again. He says, "I'm not ashamed of that. It is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that what? Believeth." Well, then what about those who don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Was Paul teaching what Billy Graham taught? Was Paul saying, well, Baal worshipers, it doesn't matter. As long as you seek the light that, you see. What about Ashtaroth? Those of you who are seeking Ashtaroth, the idol, are those people okay? Because after all, they're just seeking the light, they can. What about the Athenians who worship the thing that fell down from Jupiter? Are they okay? I mean, aren't they worshiping the light that they have? No, that's all idolatry. "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." From where do we get faith? The word of God, Romans 10, 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without faith it is impossible to please him," Hebrews 11, 6. So we need to pray. We need to pray for the Muslim people. How will they be won? There's only one way, if they hear the word of God. It's not a time to fall into the politically correct camp and say, "Oh, I can't treat the Muslims like every other lost group because they might take off my head." What about the apostles? Was that their worry? Did they roll into town and say, I've got to handle this situation a different way because these are all idolaters. They all worship Baal here. No, we've got to stand upon the word of God. There's only one way to be saved, and it's through his name. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be what? Saved." It doesn't matter if Billy Graham in his elder years make such foolish statements. Untrue, unscriptural statements. Imagine how many people are being led astray by such statements. I read once he had a personal time with Muhammad Ali. I read that Muhammad Ali was raised a Southern Baptist, converted to Islam. Billy Graham was raised a Southern Baptist and converted to I don't know what. I don't know what he's teaching. But here he has a perfect opportunity talking to now a converted Muslim. Why not point that man back to the truth that he once received instead of saying, you're okay, you're okay, they're not okay. The Bible says the false prophets say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to be able to reach the Muslim people like all people, that they need to be saved, that Christ died on the cross for their sins. He was buried, he rose again, victorious the third day. He is indeed God Almighty in the flesh, the one with the power to save, the perfect, the upright one, the one who ever lives to make intercession for us. Have your way in our hearts now, Lord. We thank you that indeed that precious blood of Christ still saves today. We thank you for Olivia writing this week and telling us she got saved after doing the Bible course. And I pray, Lord, you'd help her to grow in the Lord now. Lord, if there is any here this morning who have not been saved, I pray they would come this morning and place their faith and trust in that pure, sinless blood that Jesus shed on the cross. Father, have your way in each of our hearts now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.